May the meditations of my mind, the tremors of my heart, and the words of my mouth bring honor to you, O God. Amen. One of my favorite Japanese proverbs goes like this: hunger is the best spice. And if any of you have ever been really hungry, you know how true that is. When you are truly hungry, food you would have never have found appetizing suddenly looks delicious. Hunger is so connected to all of our senses. It can be triggered by smell, by sight, by sound, texture, and of course, taste. If you see the right image of a freshly made meal, or catch a whiff of the smells of spices, or hear the sound of a sizzling grill, your mouth may involuntarily water in anticipation of food. Even saying the word food has a certain pleasure to it. Food. There are few joys in this world that can compare with a good meal when you're hungry. My wife and I have been working through a Netflix documentary called Chef's Table. And if you're familiar with the show, you may know the feeling you get when you see really good food. It's an excellent show where they focus on the style and stories of particular chefs and how they came to make award-winning cuisine. It can be a very powerful and moving show, and it has some of the best and most creative footage of food that you will ever see. The makers of the show understand the power of food, and even more, how intimately connected we are to what and how we eat. Food is not just something that sustains us, but it's something that gives us life. And how we eat contributes to our sense of community. I'm actually grateful that television technology has not yet progressed to creating smells to go along with shows, because that would make something like Chef's Table pretty unbearable. In the passage of Matthew, the crowds didn't have food documentaries to remind them how hungry they were. This is a passage that many of us are familiar with. Some of us have even grown up with it. It's one of the most spectacular miracles of Jesus, creating food from only a bit of bread and some fish to feed over 5,000 people. The disciples attempted to dismiss the crowds earlier so they could go and get their own food, but Jesus told them to stay and took 5 loaves and 2 fish, prayed a blessing, and the food miraculously multiplied, and Jesus fed all those who were gathered. The number of those present may have been closer to 10,000, but the writer decided not to include women and children for some reason. To give some context here, this is the only miracle story mentioned in all 4 Gospels. So all the Gospel writers knew of it and felt it was important to the story of Jesus. In Matthew, the feeding of the multitude takes place directly after the execution of a close friend of Jesus, John the Baptist. So Jesus was grieving when the crowds gathered around him expecting a teaching. It was still early in Jesus' ministry, and he was in a land that was plagued with political and economic turmoil. It was the head of the state, Herod Antipas, that had just executed John the Baptist. Herod had heard of Jesus and his miracles by this point, and possibly viewed Jesus as a potential political threat, as the country was experiencing unrest through political pressure from Rome and from mounting economic woes. Ascribing a miracle to Jesus at the onset of his ministry not only bestows upon him a certain supernatural quality that challenges earthly leadership, but it serves as just another example of what Jesus could provide his followers and what Herod could not. Herod's country was a poor one. Hunger and starvation was not only rampant, but commonplace. To have Jesus feeding thousands of people with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish could be interpreted as a direct challenge to Herod's earthly reign. Why follow or serve a leader who cannot feed you when the Son of God can not only provide for your needs, but the needs of your whole family, just on what little you have? The writer of Matthew also decided to place two dramatically different stories side by side. In the verses before this passage in Matthew, Herod is celebrating his birthday feast when his daughter requests the head of John the Baptist. Herod is in the midst of a royal celebration, surrounded by wealth, and he is asked to execute an innocent man as a reward for good dancing. It's a very different example of leadership when compared to Jesus teaching on a beach and feeding the crowds who have gathered there. In one story, we have a royal feast with rich guests, and the other, we have the gathering of hungry masses looking to learn. In one, we have an execution. In the other, we have the healing of the sick. In one, a story of revenge, and in the other, a story of compassion. It's possible that Matthew put these two stories together to show readers the kind of person that Jesus was, someone who would rather spend time with the masses than with the royal elite. It may have been something akin to flipping through the TV channels and seeing a lavish celebrity party on one station and news of refugees in tent cities on the next. I wonder how our views of Justin Trudeau or Donald Trump would change if we saw them at one or the other. Jesus performed this miracle of multiplying food before the crowds and his disciples, and they were amazed at his powers. But I tend to think that there was one more miracle in this story. If we use the definition of a miracle as an extraordinary event that manifests divine intervention in human life, or, to say it another way, a time and place when God is working in our midst, then I think we find another miracle in this story. The miracle is not only creating food for thousands from a few pieces of bread and some fish. The first miracle, the first manifestation of the divine in this story, is the compassion that Jesus shows for the crowds gathered to see him. Remember that Jesus was a man who was grieving the loss of a dear friend. And for anyone who knows that pain, you know how hard it is to see the needs of others in those moments, and rightfully so. No one can do that on their own strength. The manifestation of God isn't just in what Jesus does by multiplying loaves and fishes, but the divine is present in why Jesus chose to feed them, and in the strength of his compassion in the midst of his grief. The divine manifestation of God and what Jesus, the Son of God, reveals to us is found in the single word of compassion. Matthew says that when Jesus saw the great crowd that had followed him, he had compassion for them. And so he healed their sick, tended to their needs, and shared with them his presence. And then when evening came and they found themselves without food, he fed them. When we do the same, we show compassion to others, and we are participating in the exact same miracle. It may not sound as spectacular as multiplying bread and fish, but I wonder how many has the Church of the Redeemer fed in its lunch program? I would guess far more than 5,000 in the years. How many have been given hospitality that walk through those doors on Sunday, or how often have we been affected through learning at Redeemer? We are doing the work of miracles when we do these things. We are manifesting the compassion of God through the lunch program and hospitality and the amnesty program, the Aboriginal Issues Working Group, and the Refugee Settlement Committee, among all else that we do. When we read these miracle stories, we are given a blueprint in how to respond to the needs of those around us. Show compassion. When we show compassion, that is the very first manifestation of God in our midst. And when that happens, amazing things eventually take place. That is why I take the words of Jesus so seriously as they're written in John. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater things than these. We will do greater works than multiplying fishes and loaves. The greater our compassion we have, the more the kingdom of God will be here. Food is so important that we created a sacrament around it, one of which we are about to partake. God tells the thirsty and the hungry to come to him, and they will find water and food, and not just physical sustenance, but food for the soul. The Eucharist is our way of recognizing God in our midst, and our responsibility to feed each other and to celebrate with God when that happens. So as we partake in communion and then go to our Sunday lunches or make plans for our dinners, as we encounter the stresses of our daily lives, it is my hope and prayer that the miracles that Jesus has shown us can be made true and real in our own lives, and through us be done in our communities. Be excited for what God, the great chef, has prepared. May the mouths of our souls water in anticipation for the coming of the kingdom. May we witness and be the miracles of compassion and hope that manifest the presence of God at our tables and in our relationships. Amen.